Why are you here tonight? Why were you here this morning? I have to confess that on some Sundays, my answer to that question is probably not what it should be. There are some Sundays that my answer to that question is, I'm here because it's my job. There are some Sundays that my answer to that question is, well, I'm here because I don't want to look bad in front of all the other brothers and sisters. There are some Sundays that my answer is, I'm here because I'm trying to impress God with my commitment. I mean, there are some Sundays where my answer to that question is good and it's hopeful and God glorifying, but that's not always the case. I want you to think for just a moment about that answer to that question for you today. Why are you here? And as we consider the answer to that question today and other days that we gather and other times that we do what God has asked, I want to drive home and drill in on a particular instance in one of the stories that Jesus told. The story of the prodigal son. But I want us to look at a different character today. I want us to look at the older brother. Complaining. Upset. I want us to see his biggest regret. And the misunderstanding that led to that regret. And I hope that when we're done, we will be able to come back to the question with which we've started. And discover a better answer and a better reason to be here. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 25, the older son was in the field and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. So his father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost, and he is found. I'd like for us to drill into this struggle that the older brother is having and see if we can't learn from his great regret. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Glorious Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us the victory. Thank you for giving us the inheritance, for sharing that with us, for allowing us to have all that is yours. Help us, Father, to rejoice and celebrate, recognizing what you have done, and with joy that we might gather to bring glory and honor to your name. Father, help us not to commit the error of the prodigal, neither let us commit the error of the older brother. Father, help us to bring honor and glory to your name because of what you have done for us. We love you, Father, and we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to begin by recognizing the older brother's messed up understanding. You see, he misunderstands his situation with the father. He misunderstands what has happened in his life and where he stands with the father. And because of that, it messes up this whole scenario and this whole perspective and his service. But he's misunderstanding. There's a sentence, there's a statement. In fact, there's a word, a verb in this account that arrested my attention some time ago. And when I first read it, I wasn't quite sure what was to be done with it. But I want us to look at it and recognize that it ought to cause us to pause for a moment and cause us to ask, wait a minute, what's really going on here? What is really being said here? The older brother, when the father comes out to him, complains. He says, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. I'd like for you to notice what the father says to him. The father responds to him by saying, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Did you catch that? Not all that is mine will be yours. All that is mine is yours. Present tense. He's not saying to the older brother, look, son, everything that I have, it's going to be yours one day. I gave the younger son his, and so now everything that I have now is going to be yours. Just wait your turn and you'll get to celebrate. That's not what he says. What he says is, all that I have is yours. Do you recognize what that means? The young goat that the older brother wanted in order to be able to celebrate and rejoice with his friends, who did that young goat belong to? It belonged to him. And so if he had not celebrated and rejoiced with his friends, whose fault was it? Was it the father's fault because he had not given the son permission to celebrate? No. It wasn't the father's fault. It was the older brother's fault. Because the older brother misunderstood his standing with the father. He had a messed up understanding of his inheritance. What the father says is, look, all that I have is yours. Do you know what that means about the celebration, about the rejoicing with the friends? The older brother could have been doing that. He could have taken a young goat and celebrated with his friends. He could have had that party with them. He could have rejoiced. He could have celebrated. He had the inheritance. Whose fault was it? It was the older brother's fault that he had not been able to celebrate and rejoice with the friends because of his messed up understanding. But because of his messed up understanding, he also had messed up service. Think about this for a moment. The service that this older brother is offering, he says here, look, all these years I have served you. All these years I've been doing your work, and I've never disobeyed any of your commands. And yet you have never given me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. The NIV, I kind of like what it says here. If you've got the NIV, what it has the man saying is, look, for all these years I have been slaving for you. For all these years I have been slaving for you, and yet have not received even a young goat to celebrate with my friends. You see, because he had a messed up understanding about his place with his father and about his inheritance, he had messed up service. Think about this. What is he trying to do? He is slaving to earn an inheritance that is already his. He's trying to earn the opportunity to be able to celebrate one day, to be able to rejoice one day, sometime down the road. Sometime down the road, if I just keep slaving, and if I keep working, and if I keep obeying, and I refuse to disobey, like that prodigal son who ran off, if I work long enough and hard enough to not be like him, then one day I will earn the right to celebrate and rejoice. Do you recognize that his understanding of serving the Father was the exact same understanding as the prodigal's was? When the prodigal came back in Luke chapter 15 and verse 18, what was it that he had planned on saying to his father? We back up to verse 18. He says, I'll arise, I'll go to my father, I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. What was the prodigal saying? The prodigal was saying, look, I've wasted the inheritance. I understand that. Let me make it up to you by being your slave. Maybe I can slave it off. Maybe I can serve it off. That was the wrong attitude. But is that any different than the older brother's attitude? What's the older brother saying? The older brother is saying, I hope one day to enjoy this inheritance. I will slave to get to enjoy it. He did not grasp that he already had it. Now, don't misunderstand. Recognizing that we already have the inheritance, that the inheritance has already been given, does not give permission to run away from the Father, does not give permission to pursue passions and pleasures and all of those things. After all, that's what the prodigal did. That's what the prodigal did. The prodigal said, I've got the inheritance, now I'm going to abandon my father and live life how I please. Well, we understand how that ends up. It ends up with wasting the inheritance and losing the inheritance, and it leads to being lost and dead. That's not the lesson from the older brother. But the older brother's ideas were just as messed up. So afraid of being the prodigal that he couldn't grasp what he already had. And so he had a messed up understanding, which produced messed up service. I'll slave for you. I'll slave for you. And then maybe one day I will earn the right to rejoice. And because of that, it produced a messed up perspective. A messed up perspective of himself, of his brother, and even of his father. Because you see, his own perspective of himself was, look at all I've done. I have served you faithfully. I've never disobeyed your command. Anybody believe that this older brother had actually made it his whole life without ever disobeying his dad? Let me ask you, anybody here made it your whole life without disobeying your dad? Of course not. He's got a messed up perspective about himself. But because he had this messed up notion about trying to earn the inheritance and trying to work and slave for the inheritance, he could not have the proper perspective of his brother. You see, the father's perspective was, here was a son who had died and is now alive again. Here's a son who is lost and is now found. All the older brother could see is, here's somebody who hasn't earned a celebration. This guy hasn't earned a celebration. Why is he getting a celebration? I should be getting the celebration, but even though I have served faithfully, I haven't even gotten a young goat. I deserve the celebration. He doesn't. You see the messed up perspective there? Sibling rivalry. Where does it come from? In our physical families, in our earthly families, fleshly families, sibling rivalry can come from all kinds of sources. Sometimes even the parents do things that promote sibling rivalry. But we recognize in this family, we have a father who is perfect. A father who disciplines perfectly, who blesses perfectly, who rewards perfectly, who gives inheritance perfectly. If there's sibling rivalry here among us, it's not because of anything our father has done. Rather, it's because of our poor perspective. And it's just like this brother. He had the perspective that this younger brother was receiving something that he didn't deserve, that the older brother deserved because he had done the work to earn it. And so he was jealous. Do we feel that way sometimes as we look around that someone has received a blessing and we can't understand why they should get that blessing when we have been the ones that have worked so hard, we should be getting that blessing? Is the problem that sometimes we are more like the older brother than we would care to admit? It's a messed up perspective. When I think that what I'm doing is slaving to get the celebration, if someone else is getting to celebrate and being blessed, I'm going to be jealous. So what would clear this all up? What would clear up this confusion? What the older brother needs to understand is that the inheritance is already his. What did the father say? All that I have is yours. What's he saying to you? He said, look, if you want to celebrate with your friends, they're your goats. Go celebrate. Go rejoice. Throw a party. But it was good for us to celebrate now too, because your brother was lost and is found. He's dead and he's alive. If the older brother would have just grasped, I have the inheritance. The Father has shared it with me already. How many parties could he have already had with his friends, celebrating and rejoicing what he already had? And he missed out on it. And so what about us? What about us? Are we so afraid of committing the error that the prodigal did that we're running headlong into the error of the older brother? We are certainly aware that having the inheritance does not mean we can live however we want. In Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We know that receiving the inheritance doesn't mean that we're allowed to go live profligately and prodigally, pursuing our passions and our pleasures. We recognize that the inheritance has been given to us so that we can walk in new life. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We've received the inheritance, and because of that, we are free. We're free from sin. We're free from that law of Moses. We're free from condemnation, but that doesn't mean to use it as permissiveness for the flesh. And in Jude and verse 4, in Jude and verse 4, Jude rebukes certain people who have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. We understand these passages. We grasp that we are not allowed to go off into the foreign country. We are not allowed to waste our inheritance with prostitutes and reckless living. We understand that that is not how we live with our inheritance. But are we so afraid of someone going prodigal that we're missing out on the joy and celebration and rejoicing that we can have now because we have the inheritance? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are saved. We have salvation. We're not striving to earn it. We've got it. And are we so afraid that someone might go prodigal that we won't rejoice in that? Titus chapter 2. Chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We've got it. We are heirs. The inheritance is ours. Are we so afraid to say that? Are we so afraid of becoming prodigal that we can't rejoice in the inheritance that we have? Celebrating with our friends what God has given to us by His grace? Oh, I know that we're all smart enough that we would never, ever, ever say that what we're trying to do right here is to earn our way into heaven. We all know that that doesn't work. But my question is, behind that verbal denial, under the covers, is that what we're actually trying to do? Oh, we would verbally deny that we're trying to earn our way in. But when we get behind the words, is what we live like the older brother? I have been slaving for you. I deserve a celebration. When am I going to get it? I hope one day that I will have obeyed enough, and I will have served enough, and I will not disobey too much, and then I'll get my celebration. And the older brother here can't celebrate with the younger because he has missed out on what he already has. And I ask again, are we so afraid that someone will go prodigal on us, that we're afraid to rejoice in the inheritance that we already have? And so let me ask you again, why are you here tonight? Are you here tonight because you're slaving for the celebration you hope to have one day? Are you here tonight to prove that you are not disobedient like those prodigals who aren't here? Are you here tonight because you're wanting to check off those rules and those lists in order to demonstrate that you deserve the celebration sometime? Or are you here tonight because you know you've got the inheritance and you wanted to celebrate and rejoice with your friends in what God has given you? Brothers and sisters, that's why we're here. Because we have been saved. Jesus died on the cross and washed our sins away. And those of us who are in Jesus Christ, we have the glorious inheritance. And we are here tonight to take the young goat that belongs to us and celebrate with our friends and rejoice in the inheritance that we have already received. Why are you here? Let us not commit the sin of the prodigal. But neither let us commit the sin of the older brother. Rejoice. We have the inheritance. Will you pull out your songbooks if you're going to be using one tonight, please? Number 559, the joy of the Lord. 559, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. You know who can say that? Not the older brother. The older brother didn't understand the joy of the Lord. The older brother, all he could understand was, I have to be strong. And if I'm strong, maybe one of these days I'll get to experience some joy. In that far off, distant future. that I'm not even sure if I'm going to make. Then maybe I'll get to have joy. No, no, no. Jesus has died. He has shed his blood. If you are in Jesus Christ, the sins have been washed away. No, that does not give you permission to go off into the far country and waste your inheritance on prodigal living and sin. No. But I tell you what it does give you permission to do. It gives you permission to rejoice, to celebrate, to be excited that you are among the saved. Can we be excited about that? The joy of the Lord will be our strength. If you're not in Christ, you have no strength. I want to invite you to enter Jesus so that you can have that inheritance and you can sing along with us. The joy of the Lord. If we can help you with that, why don't you come forward right now as we express the joy of the Lord.